Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our three-week sermon series on one of the most beloved chapters in the Bible, Psalm 23. We're focusing on Jesus as our good shepherd, the ultimate leader who loves us, cares for us, protects us, and leads us home. Last week we talked about how Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us to green pastures and still waters. And you know, I wish life in this world was all green pastures and still waters, but it's not. Because we live in a world that has fallen into sin, there will be dark valleys that all of us have to go through. Times of pain, times of suffering, times of grief. But the important message of Psalm 23 is that we do not go through these valleys alone. Our good shepherd Jesus always promises to be with you, with us. Today we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 23 and see four more qualities of our good shepherd Jesus. Number one, Jesus, our good shepherd, restores our souls. I get this from Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. Now, this is referring to the fact that Jesus saves our souls. This is talking about our salvation. Notice that the good shepherd is more concerned with our soul than with our physical body. Both are important to Jesus, but if it comes down to a choice, it's far more important to save the soul than the body. Jesus said, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Mark 8:36. Now, it's interesting to me, the words that David uses here. David tells us that the good shepherd restores our souls. Now, that is not typically how I preach about salvation. Usually when I preach about salvation, I will sometimes talk about it in terms of redemption. Jesus paid the price to forgive our sins. Or sometimes I'll talk about it in terms of rescue. Jesus rescues us from death and the devil. Or maybe we'll talk about it in terms of reconciliation. God forgives all our sins for Jesus' sake and reconciles with us. All of those are correct and true and biblical. But there's even more ways to talk about salvation. And the Bible gives us one here. Restoration. He restores my soul. What does that mean? I think in the case of restoration, it's easier to show you than to tell you. Suppose you were looking to buy a car, and I told you, I have a slightly used car for only a few thousand dollars. Let me show it to you. What would you say? I'm pretty sure you would say, "No way, Pastor Larson. That is a hunk of junk. That thing won't even move. You would have to pay me to take all that junk off of your hands." And you're right. This car has completely fallen apart. It is rusted, it is broken, and completely useless. Its only worthwhile is scrap metal. This car is destined for the junkyard, or at least it seems that way, unless the right person gets a hold of it. And by the right person, I mean someone brilliant, someone creative, someone who knows cars, someone who loves cars, really loves cars. In the hands of the right person could restore this car to its former glory. So this car could become what it was always meant to be. Not this, but this. That's the same car, but it's now been restored by a master craftsman. That's the power of restoration. That's what Jesus does for us. He has restored our souls. He has made us new people. From the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." In Christ, we're a new creation. We're completely new people from the inside out. We've been restored back to the way we should have been before the fall into sin. We are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come, and we are now fully restored. Number two, the good shepherd guides us. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3. Our good shepherd restores our souls and then guides us in paths of righteousness, leads us in those paths. Now, this is sanctification. The first part of the verse talks about our salvation. He restores our souls. This part talks about our sanctification. The two always go together, right? Justification and sanctification are two parts of the same coin, two sides of the same coin. This is sanctification. The Lord guides us and leads us to do good works. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit to do the good things that we are created to do. Now, we're not saved by our works. I just explained that. We're saved by Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, he gives us everlasting life as a free gift. He restores our souls. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved in order to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Your purpose, according to Ephesians 2, verse 10, is to do good works. Just like a car's purpose is to be driven. It's great that if you can restore your Ford Mustang so that it looks pretty and you can put it in a museum. But you know what's better than looking at a Ford Mustang? Driving your newly restored Mustang on a cross-country trip down Route 66. Why? Because cars are not made to be looked at. Cars are made to be driven. That's their purpose. And God created you with a purpose. And according to Ephesians 2:10, your purpose is this: to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. Or as Psalm 23 puts it, to walk the paths of righteousness, to do that which is right, to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love other people the way you love yourself, to help and serve as many people as you possibly can, to love people the way Jesus loves people, to help people the way Jesus helps people, to serve people the way Jesus serves people, and to forgive people the way Jesus forgives people. See, that's why you feel so good when you help people out. The best way to get over depression is to help others. When you're doing that, you are doing literally what God created you to do. You are fulfilling your purpose. You're doing the good works which God prepared for you to do in advance. And that brings purpose and meaning and satisfaction to your life. It brings joy to your life. That's what it means to walk in the paths of righteousness. Jesus leads us in those paths of righteousness by the power of his Holy Spirit. Number three, the Good Shepherd protects us. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Psalm 23, verse 4. Third of all, our Good Shepherd protects us. David wrote this psalm and he knew what it means for a shepherd to protect his sheep, even at the risk of his own life. As we read in our Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel 17, David put his life on the line for his sheep more than once. He fought off lions, he fought off bears, probably fought off the whole rest of the NFC North. Okay. He fought off lions, he fought off bears, and other predators as well. Serious stuff. Being just a young man, barely a teenager, he could have died. But David did it. Why? Well, first of all, it was his job, his responsibility. His father entrusted him with this task, and he was going to do it for his father. Second of all, I'm sure he loved his sheep. When the predators attacked, David willingly put his body between the lion and the sheep, fighting them off with his rod, a club, a billy club that he could throw if need be. And of course, he became pretty good with a sling at the same time. That was a big help in fighting off lions and bears and other predators. Shepherds protect their sheep. That's what Jesus does as well. He calls himself the Good Shepherd because he will protect us. He protects us physically. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. If it were not for the gracious protection of the Lord and his angels, the devil would do to us what he did to poor old Job and much worse. There is no end to his cruelty and his hate. But as I mentioned earlier, as important as our bodies are, our souls are far more important. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, put his life on the line to save you and I, to save our souls. Jesus laid down his life so we could have eternal life. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord." Jesus laid down his life to restore our souls and give us the gift of everlasting life. That's the ultimate protection when he takes us home to heaven. Jesus promises not just to be with us in the dark valleys of life, he promises to lead us through them. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He doesn't just leave us in the valley of death. He's going to get us to the other side, and he will be with us every step of the way. These are all marks of our good shepherd. What does our good shepherd do for us? He restores our souls. He guides us. He protects us. And number four, he comforts us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We all experience pain, suffering, and grief in this life because of sin. And Jesus promises in those times that he will comfort us. Our God is the God of all comfort. He is close to those who are crushed and near to those who are brokenhearted. Here in verse 4, David mentions the comfort that comes from the rod and the staff of the shepherd. The rod is used to protect the sheep. It's a symbol of our good shepherd's power and his constant protection in our lives. He is powerful enough to overcome all of our enemies and get us home. Jesus, the staff is a symbol of the good shepherd's care and compassion. Sheep have a tendency to wander off and get themselves in trouble. The shepherd uses the staff with the hook at the end to keep the sheep close to himself and keep them from wandering off. And if they do get in trouble, if they fall into a pit or get stuck in thorns, or perhaps even fall into water, the shepherd can use the staff to help rescue the sheep from their situation, from their troubles. As I said before, I wish all of our lives were filled only with green pastures and still waters, but that's not life in this fallen world that we live in. As Jesus tells us, in this world we will have trouble. In this world, and David tells us, in this world we all have to walk through some really dark valleys. Not the same exact ones. We all get our own dark valleys to go through. But dark valleys are part of the journey home. And we need to remember that as we go through them, and we will get through them, we never walk through them alone. With us in every valley is the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is both compassionate and powerful, compassionate enough to lay down his life for us, and powerful enough that he can take it up again, raised, coming back to life on the third day. The Lord is compassionate and powerful. His power is unlimited. His compassion never fails. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.